Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. In Joshua chapter 4, we're told about one of the first memorials in the Bible. One of the first memorials in the Bible. In Joshua chapter 4, look if you would, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass, Joshua chapter 4, verse 1, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark your God in the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over the Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord had spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in a place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests and the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, the children of the tribe of Manasseh, passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. And about 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him, and they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass when the priests bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, and the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all the banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you, until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you, Lord, for the folks that are here this morning. And Lord, I thank you for the price that was paid by so many, Lord, in battle that we could have the freedoms we have today. Lord, help us to not only be thankful for that, but Lord, help us to always remember. Lord, help us to never forget the price that was paid. Now, Father, I pray tonight, this morning, Lord, that you just bless the word as being preached, Lord, and speak to our hearts this morning. Remind us, Lord, of the things we need to be reminded of. And Lord, if there is anybody here today that's not saved, Lord, I pray that they'll get saved today. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with every preacher all over the country today, Lord, that's preaching the Bible as it is, preaching the Word of God. And Lord, I just pray that many will get saved today, many Christians will get right. And Lord, we're looking forward to your coming again. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this text, we see a strange memorial. It was a stack of 12 large stones that had been taken from the Jordan River. And when Joshua and the Hebrews had crossed over that riverbed en route to Canaan, God had dried up the river so that they could cross over. as he had done with the Red Sea years before that. Therefore, Joshua was instructed to leave a stack of stones as a remembrance or a memorial for generations to come. And for generations to come, because of those stones, the people of Israel would always remember what happened on that day when the Lord gave them passage across the Jordan River. And when the children that were yet to be born would one day ask their parents, as they're looking out there, and they say, "Well, Dad, what do these stones mean right here?" The dad could dad or mom could say, "Hey, those stones are for us to remember that the Lord is the one who dried up the waters here so that we could cross over. The power of the Lord." And then from there, they can even say, "Just as the Lord dried up the, split the Red Sea, that we could cross over that." See, it was a memorial that we are to, it was a memorial that they were to remember what the Lord had done for them and remember his mighty acts so that people would glorify God and fear God. Don't you know when those parents told their children about those stones and what they actually meant and, so, and said that the Lord parted the waters that we may come across here on dry land into the promised land that he promised us? And don't you know that when they explained to the children, those children who had not seen these things, that the Lord had parted the Red Sea? Don't you know when those children started to hear those stories that the fear of the Lord would be there, the glory of God would be there? That they of the day though that they're trusting in the true and living God, because no other false God is able to do anything like that. But God is mighty. And so it was a memorial so that people would remember, so that they would never forget. It was a memorial so not only would the generation that saw it happen remember, but the generation that had never seen it would remember, because there was a memorial there. May I tell you, we live in a world today that a lot of people in the upcoming generation has not seen a lot of things that the generations past has seen. But it's up to us to remind them of that, to bring into memory some of the things that has happened in this country and the price that's been paid. Now, it's obvious from the Bible that remembering something is very important to the Lord. I mean, it's very important. In fact, we agree that the Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. Amen? I mean, after all, he is the one who created man. He knows more about us. He knows more about our anatomy. He knows more about our thinking. He knows more about our faults than any of us know about ourselves. I mean, think about it. He can read your very thoughts today. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows you better than you know yourself. Amen? He knows this. He knows all things. And so he also knows that we tend to forget awful easy. Now, I'll tell you what, if you haven't figured that out by now, you need to take a look around. I mean, this is like we talked before, you know, the Twin Towers got bombed on 9/11 years ago, but yet we have forgotten about that. It didn't take us very long to forget about it. We need to remember these things. And so the Lord knows that we have a problem remembering things, so he's constantly reminding us and having our memories being stirred. When you read your Bible, the words remember, remembrance, and memorial, those three words are found more than 230 times inside your Bible. You know why? Because he knows that we forget. Do you know, sometimes when you're reading your Bible, and especially you get over there in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and you know, and something even in Isaiah, it's kind of like that too. When you start to read, it'll say, "The Lord said to do this and this and this and this and this and this in this order." And then they went and did this and this and this and this and this and this in that order. Do you know why he does that? Because he knows we're going to forget. So he continuously, repetition, repetition, repetition. That's the reason we're told that we should hide the Word of God in our hearts. We should memorize Scripture. That's the reason why when he gave us our Bible, how many of you understand when you read your Bible that there's a rhythm to those words? Have you ever thought about that? Well, you know, when you're sitting there and you're memorizing John 3:16, you know why it's so easy for you to memorize John 3:16? Because there's a rhythm to those words. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." There's a rhythm there. That's not by accident. The Lord does that. Why? He wants you to remember. He wants you to remember things. He knows that we forget. And so all the way through the Bible, you see words like remember and remembrance and memorial all the way through there, because God knows that we're prone to forget, and he set up things so that his children don't forget. For instance, you read back in the Old Testament, the Lord commanded his people back in the Old Testament to observe certain days. Those days were called days of remembrance. For example, in the Old Testament, they were to observe the Passover feast. And the Lord said, every year, on the first day of the year, you're going to have the Passover feast. In other words, you're going to do what the Bible tells you to do. You're going to take the lamb without blemish, and you're going to prepare it the way the Bible tells you to do it, and you're supposed to eat it standing up with a staff in your hand, and you're supposed to do it a certain way, and you do it every year at a certain time. You know why? So that they would remember what happened to them on the night when they were in Egypt, that death angel come by and killed all the firstborn, and they were spared. Why? It was a remembrance. Now, God could have said, now, I want you to remember this, and don't ever forget it. But he didn't. He said, you're going to observe the Passover once a year. Why? It's a remembrance. Even today in the New Testament, what we do on the Passover day is we do the Lord's Supper. And the Lord instituted it for us to do the Lord's Supper. He said, this do in remembrance of me. You know why he did that? Because we'll forget. We'll forget what the Lord did for us on the cross. That's our nature. We tend to forget. So the Lord says, no, I'm going to force you to remember. It's just like those stones. You know, when the Lord parted those waters there in the Jordan, he says, I want you to take these stones. I want you to put them there in that water right there where he crossed over. So that way you won't forget. Not only that, when your children say, hey, what are those stones right there for? You can tell them so they won't forget. So that they would always remember what the Lord had done for them. And so all the way through there, the Lord is wanting us not to forget. Now, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and if you didn't know it, Memorial Day is unique to our country. Memorial Day observance began during the Civil War when some concerned women decided to decorate the graves of those who had bravely given their lives in the war between the states. Now, Memorial Day was originally intended to stir up the memories of those who had given themselves and shed their blood for this country, lay down their lives in military battle for the cause of the freedoms of this country. That's what it was originally for. Yet, to so many, today has just become another holiday to where people could go to the lake and go cookouts. I'm not against those things. But that's not what Memorial Day is about. It's not what it's about. See, today, because a lot of people haven't experienced what people in past generations have experienced, and some people today haven't experienced what some of the people in the military today have experienced, when they look at Memorial Day, they don't look at it the same way that veterans or those people who have been in battle look at it. You know, the church I was pastored in Oklahoma, we had one member that was a Vietnam vet. And he was one of those guys that was actually on the ground in the jungle, a Marine. And, I mean, he saw some horrific things. And I'll tell you something. When Memorial Day come around, it meant a lot to him because he had seen his friends die. You know, I remember growing up, my grandfather was, he was in World War II, and he landed on the beaches of Normandy. And when I grew up listening to stories from him about how it was when they landed on Omaha Beach. And folks, this isn't the movies. This is the real thing. And he said that he still remembers that when they got there, I mean, they dropped those things down and people would come flying out of there. And he goes he said the beach was just black with people just coming on. And there's just thousands of soldiers. And he said there was planes flying over. And he goes, the only thing he could hear was a whole lot of explosions and a bunch of whistling going by. There were bullets going by him. And he said he got down in the water. He was treading with his full backpack on and a rifle in his hand. And he said when he went down in the water, all he could see was red in the water. And he come back out of the water and did everything he could do just to take a breath because everybody was stacked up so far back that he had to tread water for so long. And he said when he finally got to the point where he could pick up his head and stand on the ground underneath the water there, and he looked up and he said, it looked so bad, it looked like with all the soldiers coming on the beach, he said it looked like somebody was taking a trimmer and just whacking them down. People he had known for the last 4 years. And I heard those stories. And just like Brother Lara talked today, my granddad could name names. People that a lot of people have forgotten about. People today that most people don't even know. Amen. That stormed that beach and died and gave their life so that you would not be under the hand of a dictator today. Amen. That's what Memorial Day is all about, folks. Now, we have Veterans Day where we celebrate our veterans. But Memorial Day is a day set aside for us to remember those people that gave their lives for this country. But for so many today, they don't realize that. And for so many today, it's just another holiday. And they really don't ever think about the soldiers that died for this country. It's been said that, "Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and success of liberty." That's the reason those folks gave their lives. In the Civil War, 498,000 soldiers were killed. In the Civil War. In World War I, 116,000 American soldiers were killed. In World War II, 407,000 American soldiers were killed. 54,000 died in Korea. 58,000 in Vietnam. Many today still pay the ultimate sacrifices in places like Iraq and Afghanistan and many other places around the world. And each one of those soldiers that died was loved by somebody. Whether it be a mother, a dad, a wife, a husband, children. I tell you what, folks, it's a serious business this Memorial Day. All in all, over 1.1 million men and women have died to guarantee the freedoms of this country. That's the reason it makes my blood boil whenever I see us give up our freedoms. For any reason. Blood was spilt so you could have those freedoms. And blood will have to be spilled again if we give them up to get them back. They gave their all so we might enjoy the blessings that we have in this great land. And I thank God for every one of them. We're free today. We're free to pray. We're free to worship. We're free to speak. We're free to assemble. We're free to vote. All because of their sacrifice. Those men and women, if you ask me, they're the real heroes of this country. They are the real heroes. It's been written that it is the soldier, not the theologian, who has secured our freedom of religion. It is the soldier, not the reporter, who has secured our freedom of press. It is the soldier, not the protester, who has secured the freedom to demonstrate. It is the soldier, not the judge or lawyer, who has secured our judicial system. It is the soldier, not the entrepreneur, who has secured our economic opportunity. It is a soldier whose coffin is draped the flag of the United States, who has secured the freedom for those who wish to burn the flag. Now, I understand that that's accepted in this country, but I'm going to tell you right now, it would not do well for them to burn it in front of me, because I know the price that was paid. It's also been said that a man is not dead until he's forgotten, and therefore we must never forget those who gave their lives. As parents, we should make sure that our children understand that wars have been fought, and that we tell them the real reasons for those wars, not the reasons that the media wants us to know. And we are to teach our children how the ultimate price was paid by so many to ensure that we today have the freedoms that we have. Many children today no longer are taught about our founding fathers and why Revolutionary War even started. They haven't been taught about the importance of liberty and how so many people gave their lives in battle. Many children do not know the atrocities of Adolf Hitler today, where he killed 6 million Jews and many more Christians. And they're not taught that had it not been for so many soldiers who laid down their lives to defeat Hitler and Mussolini and Hirohito in World War II, that we would all be living under the bondage of a dictatorship or communism today, with no rights and no liberties to vote or to say anything against the leader. And may I tell you, folks, that we do, as a country, do not need to apologize to any of those countries that decided to take us over. We don't need to apologize to any of them. Hey, listen, you read history there, and the United States wasn't going to get into the thing in World War II, but the Japanese brought us into it. We don't have to apologize to anybody. And I'll tell you this, if they had taken us over, you wouldn't have the liberties you have today, and you certainly wouldn't be sitting in a church today. Even though we don't particularly care for protesters today, we also ought to consider it a badge of honor that people can actually go out and protest. Consider a badge of honor. You know why? Because somebody died, so that person can go out there and protest. I don't like the protesters any more than you do. But isn't it nice to live in a country where people can go out and voice their opinion? You try to protest in China today, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be put in jail. And so, you know, the reason that you're sitting in church today is because somebody shed the blood on the battlefield. The reason that you're sitting in church today is because some mother's little boy or little girl grew up and gave their lives for the freedoms of this country. And we must never take these freedoms for granted. We must never forget the price that was paid by so many so that we could live free in this country. But there are a few more things on this Memorial Day that I want you to consider this morning that not only should we remember and never forget those soldiers who gave their lives for this country, but there are some other things in the Bible that the Lord wants you to especially remember. And the first thing is that we need to remember the saints who have died in the past for their faith. Now see, that's something we don't think about a whole lot. We read our Bible and we read it from cover to cover, and we read passages like Hebrews chapter 11, and we just don't even really think about it. But that's something we should remember. In fact, that's the reason the Lord gave us Hebrews chapter 11. That's called the Hall of Faith. And it names people in the Old Testament who gave their lives for the cause of Christ and for the cause of God. Names them. And it doesn't name all of them, but it names a few. Turn, if you would, over to Hebrews chapter 11. Turn over to the Hall of Faith. And the Lord wrote these things so we may remember those folks that gave their lives for the cause of Christ and for the cause of the Lord. And when you read this, the Lord is pretty graphic in the things that he writes and the things he wants you to remember. In Hebrews chapter 11, look if you would at verse 36. It says, "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments." Talking about people and what the things they went through for God. "They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented." That's all those people like Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah. All those people that were put to death. Verse 38. "Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth." Just think about all the people that were tortured and killed at the time that the book of Hebrews was written. How many Christians were being fed to lions and being tormented and tortured? All those people that Hebrews chapter 11 mentions that went through all these horrible things for the cause of the Lord. How prone we are to forget the courageous Christians of the past whose labors and sacrifices made it possible just for you to even have the Bible you have today. We forget about that. We don't worship these people. We don't give them glory. It's not what I'm saying, but I am saying that we are to honor them for their faithfulness. In 1 Corinthians 12:26, it says, "Whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it." We are to honor people for what they've done for the Lord. And we're not to glorify them. That's the Lord. The glory belongs to the Lord. But we are to honor those people. And you know, I don't know if you've ever read the Fox's Book of Martyrs and different books like that. But when you read there, you'll read of people like Bishop Ridley, who was burned at the stake because he maintained that it was not apostolic succession and proclaimed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And they said, "Either you'll recant or we will kill you." And he says, "I can't recant." He burned him at the stake. Or Bishop Latimer, who was burned at the stake because he maintained that Christ made one sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and that communion was only acceptable means of remembering what Jesus Christ had actually done. It was not a part of salvation. You say, "Well, boy, that's pretty nitpick." Yes, but he was willing to die for it. That's truth. He wasn't going to sit there and say that anything else was going to get you saved other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he was willing to die for that. He's willing to give his life for that. We need to remember people like that. This morning, time would not permit for me to talk about people like John Huss or Lady Jane Grey or William Tyndall or John Wycliffe or those people, but it's been estimated that 43 million Christians have been killed for their faith since the crucifixion of Christ. 43 million Christians over 2,000 years. And some 26 million of those have occurred in the last 100 years. That's what you see. Sometimes we forget that things like this is going on in the world today. We need to remember those people. We need to remember that they died for their faith in Jesus Christ. And then another thing that we need to remember is not only for those people that died for their faith in Jesus Christ and who suffered for the cause of the Lord, but we also need to remember those people who are suffering and being persecuted today for the cause of Christ. Turn, if you would, two chapters over to Hebrews chapter 13. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 talks about those people in the past who died for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for the Word of God, who died because they wanted to obey God, and so they were put to death for it. And certainly there were many. But then when you get to Hebrews chapter 13, it doesn't talk about those people who have already died for the Lord. It's talking about those people who are being persecuted right now for the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 13, look if you would at verse 3. It says this, "Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them which suffer adversity." That's talking about that present tense, that's right now. "As being yourselves also in the body." You know what he's saying? Back in Hebrews chapter 11, he said, all those people that gave their lives for the cause of the Lord, you need to remember those people. But there here in Hebrews chapter 13, he's saying, remember those that are still being afflicted. Remember those that are still in bonds right now. Remember those that are being persecuted right now. And he says, we remember that. It's supposed to be a memorial. It's something we're supposed to think about. It's something we're supposed to tell our children about. Estimates are today that there are between 150 and 165,000 Christians martyred each year. Each year. You say, I don't believe that. That's because the media doesn't show you everything. 200 million Christians worldwide live under the threat of persecution. Since 1983, approximately 2 million Christians have been killed by Muslims in the Sudan region alone. Churches are regularly burned, along with their Bibles and their hymn books. You say, well, then why do people go there? Because they still need to hear the gospel. Ministers have been murdered while government soldiers looked on. In Iran, where Islam is the official religion, a person who converts to Christianity is subject to execution under Islamic law. In Saudi Arabia, which is supposed to be one of America's closest allies, there's no freedom of religion whatsoever. You get caught there trying to win somebody to the Lord, you're going to face persecution and jail time and possible death. If you win somebody to the Lord, both of you will, you that won the Lord and them who got saved, both of you will face persecution and death. Anybody who converts to another religion is subject to execution in the country of Saudi Arabia. It reminds me of a woman by the name of Maryam Ibrahim, 8 months pregnant. She was given 100 lashes across the back for adultery on grounds that her marriage to a Christian man from South Sudan was void under Sudan's version of Islamic law, which says Muslim women cannot marry non-Muslims. Therefore, to the Sudanese, her marriage was invalid, thus making her an adulteress. Afterwards, she was given 3 days to recant her faith in Christ. She refused and was then sentenced to death. And her death was to take place 2 years after her child was born. She's already been put to death. That's the world you live in, folks. You see, we think a lot of times because we live in America that the whole world's like this. For those of you who have never seen overseas, I can guarantee you it's not. Right. Now, I'm going to tell you, America has its problems. And I'm not going to tell you those problems won't get worse. But I will tell you without hesitation, you still live in the best country on the planet today. Amen. There is no doubt about it. You don't believe it? You go over to any country you choose. A country that you would consider it to be rich. Let's say Dubai. Or let's talk about England. And when you get there, you know what you're going to find out? That you don't have the freedoms there that you have here. You don't have the opportunities there that you have here. You just can't, in those countries, you just can't do whatever you please that you want to do. And in those countries, you can't even go down. You know how you drive down 10th Avenue South right now and you see a McDonald's here and a Burger King there and a mall there and different. You can't go overseas and see something like that. It's not there. You live in the greatest country on this planet. No doubt about it. But a price was paid for that. A heavy price was paid for that. And we need to remember. We need to remember. We need to also remember those who have given their life for Christ. We also need to remember those that are being persecuted today for the cause of Christ. While we're sitting in our comfortable buildings, insulated from the elements There are Christians dying all over the world. You say, what can I do? You can pray. You can pray for them. You know, there's a reason why we have missionaries written on our prayer request. Because they're all over the world, and a lot of those missionaries around the world today are in countries that are closed, and if they get caught doing what the Lord has called them to do, they will be put to death, them and their families. We need to pray for those folks. This Memorial Day weekend, not only should we remember the price that was paid for our freedoms by the soldiers of this country, we need to remember those who have given their lives for the Lord and those that continue to be persecuted. And then the final, most important thing this Memorial Day that we must never forget is that we need to remember the Savior who died for us in the first place. Mm-hmm. Turn, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. No Christian likes to admit it, but many times we forget. We forget the price that was paid for us on the cross of Calvary. In 1 Corinthians 11, look if you would at verse 24. This, of course, is talking about the Lord's Supper, talking about how Paul had been told about the Lord's Supper, and he's talking about what Jesus said over there in the book of Matthew concerning the Lord's Supper. And it says in verse 24, it says, and when he had given thanks, talking about Jesus, he break it, talking about the bread, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, do you know why he did that? Because he wants us to remember the price he paid at Calvary. You say, well, why does he have to remind us of that? Because we forget. We forget all the time. What is it that you suppose makes us stray away from the Lord from time to time? I think it's because we lose sight of the cross. I mean, honestly, folks, think about this. If you constantly thought about the cross at Calvary and what Jesus Christ did for you constantly, all the time, you never forgot it, you wouldn't do half the things that you do that, you know, the Lord doesn't appreciate. You know why? Because you'd be thinking, boy, you know, the price he paid on the cross for me, I don't want to do this because I don't want to disappoint the Lord. I mean, look what he did for me. I want to make sure I do right. I want to make sure I glorify him because look what he did for me. But the problem is sometimes we forget what the Lord did for us on the cross. Sometimes we have to be reminded of those things. And the Lord says, so because of that, I want you, to, when you do the Lord's Supper, to come together and do this in remembrance of me, remembering that I had my body broken on that cross for you, that I shed my blood for you, so that you may have everlasting life, that you may get something that you don't deserve. That's everlasting life. And Jesus said, I paid the ultimate price for you. And I'll tell you something, folks, there are a lot of things we need to remember in this world today. But as a Christian, we should remember all the time what the Lord did for us. We should never forget that. Never forget it. Jesus said in John 15, 13, he said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's something we need to remember. You know, on Memorial Day, we think about those folks that gave their lives for this country, that we may have freedom. Now, freedom, folks, is a very valuable thing. Amen? You don't realize how valuable that freedom is until it gets taken away from you. You know, I mean, I'm telling you, freedom's a valuable thing. It's a valuable thing to know that if you want to come to church on a Sunday morning and carry that Bible underneath your arm, you can sit there and do that chin up and walk right square into this church. That's a valuable thing, isn't it? I tell you this, to me it's a valuable thing that I can go door to door, knock on those doors, and ask a person to be saved and show them how to be saved. That's a valuable thing. It's a valuable thing for you to be able to, if you have an opinion about something, for you to be able to voice your opinion without having the cops coming and dragging you away. Amen? Now, for a lot of Christians, that's even more valuable because there are some opinionated Christians out there. Amen? I mean, freedom's a valuable thing. But how valuable is it compared to everlasting life? You ever thought about that? How valuable is it compared to what Jesus Christ did on that cross for you? That's the reason why there were people in that Bible that were willing to die rather than recant Jesus Christ. Because they understood there's nothing on this earth more valuable than that. Nothing on this earth is more valuable than Jesus Christ. Nothing is. Nothing's more valuable than the truth of the Word of God. That's the reason people died, were willing to be put to death for the cause of that Bible that you have right there in your hand. They were willing to be put to death for that. Why? Because they understood that there is something even more valuable than physical life itself, even more valuable than the freedoms we have in this country. Now I'm going to tell you something, folks. The greatest thing you need to understand is this. One of these days, the Lord forbid, and I pray it doesn't happen while I'm alive, and I pray the rapture happens before it happens. But one of these days, you may lose your freedoms in this country. But don't you understand, because what Jesus Christ did for you, you will never lose everlasting life. Now you tell me which one's more valuable. Listen, this country can take away your freedoms, but they can never take away your salvation. This country can take away your freedoms, and they can stop you from praying publicly. They can stop you from coming to a church building, but they can't stop you from talking to God. Ever thought about that? You see, the way God's got this thing, the things that He gives you, man can't take away from you. The things we're talking about the spiritual things that He gives you. Man can't take that away. Man can only take away those things that are material things from you. Jesus Christ means everything. That's where the true value is. And so today we need to remember the cost that Jesus Christ paid on the cross for us. You say, well, how are we to remember the Savior? How are we to show Him that we remember? Well, we remember, number one, whenever we're faithful. We're showing Jesus Christ that we have not forgotten Him whenever we're faithful. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. In other words, if you're serving the Lord, He'll establish your thoughts. If you're doing what the Lord wants you to do, you know what He'll do? He'll keep on reminding you about the cross of Calvary. Boy, that's a good deal, isn't it? Kind of gets you in a vicious circle. You start to serve the Lord. The Lord says, I'll remind you what I did for you. And as you're reminded what you did for the Lord, you know what you're doing? You're serving the Lord. And as you serve the Lord, He's still reminding what you did for you. And boy, that's a good place to be. Amen? So we remember the Lord who died for us by being faithful. We also remember Jesus when we are forgiving towards others. Psalm 86:5 says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. You know, every time that somebody does something to you, if you truly remembered what the Lord did for you, you'd forgive them the same way the Lord forgave you. Now, I know that's tough. I know that people have a tendency to do some pretty awful things to us, to say some pretty awful things to us, to make promises they can't keep. I was talking to Brother Ron. By the way, I forgot to mention Brother Ron. We've got to keep him in prayer, too. He's still up there at Grandview with his knee. But when I talked to him this past week, I said, Brother Ron, how you doing? Brother Ron said, well, somebody got into my account. Got some money from him. And so he was pretty upset about that. And I was sitting there talking to him and everything. And finally, I told him, I was like, it just happened to me. And I think you can get your money back. And he goes, yeah, well I'm going to do that once I get out of here and all this stuff. And so keep him in your prayers. But the point of this is this. People can do some pretty horrible things to us. And you can say, boy, you just don't understand, Pastor, the thing that person did to me. I just don't know if I can forgive him or not. Let me tell you something. If you have the attitude where you say, I just don't know if I can forgive that person for what they've done, you have forgotten what the Lord has done for you. You better remember what the Lord did for you, because I guarantee you this. Nobody has done anything to you worse than what you did towards God before you got saved and since you've been saved. Nobody's done you any worse than that. But aren't you glad that you have a Savior that has forgiven you of all your sins, past, present, and future? A Savior right now that says, listen, even though you've done me wrong since you've been saved, all you have to do is make things right with me, confess your sins, and hey, we'll have sweet fellowship again together. I tell you what, boy, if we'd forgive other people like that. Oh, I know you just ripped me off of $10,000, but hey, I'll tell you what, I'll just forgive you. Let's just move on. I just won't let you see my wallet anymore. Wouldn't it be a whole lot nicer? That's how we're supposed to be. But when we get to the point where we cannot forgive somebody else, we have forgotten what Jesus Christ did on the cross. If you say, well, how am I supposed to remember what Jesus Christ did on the cross? Well, be more forgiving. That'll remind you exactly what he did. We're to be more forgiving. We're to be more faithful, be more forgiving. We're also to remember Jesus by being more fruitful. John 15, 4 and 5 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. You cannot produce the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, without thinking about what Jesus Christ has done for you. You can't. You know, every time that you think about the patience the Lord has with you, you'll probably get more patience than somebody else. You know, every time that you think about how long-suffering the Lord was with you before you got saved and how long-suffering he is with you right now, you'll probably be more long-suffering with somebody else. You know how you could show the Lord that you're remembering him? By doing the same thing to others that he did for you. That's what we're to do. We're to remember Jesus by being more fruitful. This morning, this Memorial Day, we're supposed to remember the price that people paid for us. Make sure you remember all the soldiers that gave their lives for this country, over the 1 million people who have given their lives for this country, for the freedoms that you have. Don't let this holiday, this Memorial Day, just be another holiday for you, just another day off of work or just another day that you can go to a lake. Don't let it become that, and don't let it become that way to your children and your grandchildren. You make sure you remind them of the price that was paid for their freedoms. Make sure you remind them that people died so that they could do what they do today in this country. We need to remind them of that. But not only that, but we also need to remember all those Christians and remind our children and grandchildren of all the Christians who have died in the past for the cause of the Lord, because they would not recant Jesus Christ or his word, and they were put to death for it. We must never forget that, folks. The Bible says we have a great cloud of witnesses. You know who those witnesses are when you read that? Those who have gone on before. We must never forget them. We also must never forget those people that are still being persecuted all over the world today. Most Christians forget about that. Most Christians, because they don't see it on the news, they don't see it in the media, they don't see it on the internet, they sometimes forget that there are Christians being put to death every day. Hey, listen, folks, it wasn't too long ago they had a bunch of Christian children that were put to death only because they were born of Christian parents. I was surprised the media even showed that. But that's just a small part of it. It's going on in every country in the world today. You know, we think we're being persecuted in this country for standing up for Christ. Until you leave the borders of the country, you haven't seen anything. We got to remember those people that are still in bonds today. In fact, the Bible tells you, remember those people still in bonds. Remember them. Pray for them. Pray the Lord will be glorified by what they're doing. Pray that the Lord will give us glory or give us grace if the time comes for us to have to do the same thing. Let me ask you, are you willing today to suffer for the Lord? I hope so, because the Lord said, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. But if you deny me, I'll deny you before the Father. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to deny you as far as salvation, but he will sure deny you an opportunity to reign with him. Reigning with the Lord is going to mean everything, folks. Are you willing to die for Christ today, or for the cause of Christ? Are you willing to be persecuted for Christ today? Are you willing to pray for those people that are? We need to remember that. We need to remember the people that have died for Christ, those people that are still suffering for Christ, and above all, we got to remember Jesus Christ himself, who died for us in the first place. Must never forget him. Must never forget what he did on that cross. You know, I've had people say, you know, you preachers, all you do is on Sunday morning you preach about the cross. You preach about the cross. It's always about the cross and salvation and the cross. You know why they do that? Because people forget. Amen. That's the reason the Bible makes a big deal about preaching the gospel For the gospel is the power unto salvation. The gospel is foolish to them that don't believe. It's all about preaching the gospel. Yes, I'm supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. But boy, I tell you what, that gospel is supposed to be thrown in there somewhere. Why? Because people forget. And you say, well, we're all saved. Why do we need to hear the gospel again? Because you forget. You forget. And people say, I get tired of hearing about the cross all the time. Well, then just tough. You'll hear about it even more. Amen. We forget. Your pastor sometimes forgets too. Whenever I don't forgive somebody like I should. Whenever I'm not as long-suffering as I should be. As patient as I should be. You know what I forgot? I forgot how I treated the Lord and how he is towards me every day. I'm thankful for the Lord. I'm thankful he died on that cross for me. I'm thankful he puts up with Bob Crowder. He could have been done with me a long time ago. But he still puts up with me. He's still patient with me. He still forgives me. He's still long-suffering with me. He's still gentle towards me. He still loves me. And he gave his life for me. Now that's something to remember. This Memorial Day, I'm going to ask you not to forget these things. If you're here this morning, maybe you've never been told the gospel. You never believed it. You never called upon the Lord to save you. I want you to remember this. The Bible says if you call upon him, he'll save you. And once you're saved, you're always saved. What a great promise. If you need to be saved this morning, then get saved. If you are saved this morning, there's some things you need to remember. You need to remember the people that have died for the Lord, those people that are still being persecuted, and the Savior himself. Maybe you've forgotten one of those things this morning. Maybe you've forgotten and forgotten to the point that you don't even treat people like the Lord treated you. If that's you, then it's time that you get right with the Lord this morning. Let's stand.